have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so glad that you have tuned in on today. I'm excited about the Lord and what the Lord has for us on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I don't know about you, but I am excited about God. I'm excited about the things of the Lord and what God has done and is doing in the life of his people. Truly, we are living in some of the greatest of times in which we can experience the blessings of the Lord. I hear the scripture say, the blessings of the Lord maketh us rich and addeth no sorrow. And I've come to tell you today, there's a no sorrow blessing coming to your home on today. Yes, to you, my listeners on today, I am definitely praying for you that God's earnest blessing will be there with you and your children's children, all the way to the third and the fourth generation. As you continue to walk upright before the Lord our God, God promised that he was going to bless your children. And you got to claim the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And I pray that you have your Bibles on today and come on in and make yourself right at home. Amen. And get your Bible. We're going to be looking at a lesson on today that I believe that is so relevant for our times, to empower the people of God to be better equipped and to understand sometimes the things that we deal with. And so on today, our lesson for today is resolving conflicts. And we're going to be looking at James chapter number 4, verses number 1 through verse number 12. And it reads on this line, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Yea, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be friends of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resist the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, and ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of the brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou shalt not be a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one judge, lawgiver, who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another?" Now, let's take a look on this morning at our focus voice, which is going to be found over in James chapter 4, verses number 1. And it reads on this line, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members?" We must recognize avoiding conflict is desirable, but resolving conflict with God and others is essential. And so on today, when you leave our lesson on today or our talk today, you will be blessed with some tools and greater understanding as to how to deal with conflict and how to resolve those conflicts. Because we must recognize it's imminent, it's important for us as children of God to resolve conflict and not just to leave them out there dangling and without closure. It's vital for us to bring closure to those things that, you know, sometimes we rub up against each other and things, or someone has said something that seemed like, why did they say that to me and things, or why did that happen? Well, from this lesson on today, you're going to walk away with some tools that's going to empower you on how to deal with those conflicts. Okay, so let's take a look. We're going to talk about the conflicts that are within our own self and the war that is in our members, ignoring our weapons. And so we're going to talk about submitting to God and drawing nigh to Him in conflict without speaking evil, no evil, and letting God be the judge. And sometimes people have conflict with God. And so we're going to talk about those things on today so that you can be blessed and that you can move forward in the spirit of maturity and being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So let's take a look at our lesson. I know you're going to be blessed. It said, nation goes to war with one another over many different issues. Moreover, people have conflict with one another and over political ideas, money, policies, ethics, courtship, religion, properties, and responsibility, a myriad of other things. Conflict sometimes even exists among believers in the house of God. For example, several of Jesus' disciples argued among themselves as to who would be the greatest. The Corinthian believers were involved in such intense conflict that they were taking fellow believers to secular courts of law for resolution. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 1 through 8. Dissension causes the church of Galatia to be in danger of biting and devouring one another. And you'll see that over in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 15. We must recognize that when that bickering and that biting and devouring of one another, bickering at each other or talking about one another, you are literally devouring and biting away at each other at the body of Christ. And so here Paul even felt compelled to admonish the Ephesians to work towards achieving unity. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 16. Our ultimate goal when we come together is to worship God in the beauty of holiness and the praise of His holy name. But also we must also are called and charged to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And so that is our charge as well. So when it comes to the choir, when it comes to on the usher board, and when it comes to, you know, the deacon board and all of the auxiliaries that make up a church structure, or however you're structuring, you may have cell groups or groups, ministries. Your job is to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit as well as being able to edify one another. But how can that happen if we're devouring one another and bickering with one another? And so we're going to look at that today. And so that's what some of the things that Paul was dealing with in the Ephesus church in Galatians. He was talking about that. Two women troubled the church at Philippi by bitterly disagreeing with each other. And you'll find that over in Philippians chapter number 4, verses number 1 through 3. A wise man once stated, if two people always agree, only one is doing the thinking. Not only do we sometimes have conflict with one another, but we also experience conflict within our own mind. Even a person deeply established in the truth with an advanced understanding of God's word occasionally may have ambiguous thoughts. In addition, the complexity of life and the carnal nature is all of us make some decision difficult. Conflict also exists between our carnal and spiritual natures. Paul expressed it well in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 24. And this is what he stated. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my member, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And you'll find that again, Romans chapter number 7, verse 21 through 24. Paul was finding himself a conflict, not from outside or his other people that he was working in close proximity with, but the conflict was coming in a law that was in his member that was fighting up against the law of God. And so we find sometimes in ourselves a conflict within ourselves in things, in our thoughts, in our mind, and we must deal with those conflicts. A person can even have conflict with God. We are born with a degenerated, fallen nature that causes a natural conflict with them. However, the Holy Spirit puts conflict to rest when we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. And you'll find that over in John 3 and 5, when Nicodemus went unto the Lord and asked him, what must a man do to be born again? Disobeying God's command also brings disharmony and conflict. You'll find that over in Romans chapter number 1, verse 18, and chapter number 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 6. Even for those who are sincerely trying to be obedient, life challenges their faith when God does not meet their expectation. The psalmist honestly declare, but as for me, my feet was almost gone. My step has well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And you'll find that over in Psalm 73, verses number 2 and 3. His foot was almost slipped because he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked. He didn't keep his mind on the Lord. And so here, some individual experience emotional disappointment with God. James, as we will study in today's lesson, exhorted the believers about the urgency of resolving these conflicts, and he provided solution for their resolution. And let's take a look at some of those solutions. First point we want to look at right now is the conflict that sometimes takes place within ourselves and the war that is in our members and ignoring our weapons. So let's take a look at those three aspects today. First of all, emotional and mental disorder and physical addictions such as bulimic, schizophrenic, depression, and hypochondriac and alcoholism seem to be prolific in our culture. Although many of these problems are the results of chemicals or genetic or other physical abnormalities, for many, they are the result of misdirected emotions or motives, selfish or worldliness, which all leads to sin and disobedience. When we knowingly do wrong, we commit sin and violate our conscience, which in turn leads to frustration, guilt, and low self-esteem. David proclaimed, "For my iniquity are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And you'll find that over in Psalms 38 and 4. And that's why it's important for us to resolve these conflicts, because even David said that they've gone over his head and they are as a heavy burden and they're too heavy for him. Resolving the conflict within helps us to bring peace to our mind and good mental and physical health. So you see how they're interchanged together and connected together, that when you bring resolve, you can close that door so that that mental and physical affliction, your mind or your physical health, you can bring closure and things onto that. And by forgiving and letting go of those things of which someone has afflicted you or said something evil against you, or maybe it was just a misunderstanding, or maybe it was some words that was well-intended but was received, came out with a harsh tone and things. We must examine those things and bring closure. And maybe they did it spitefully and things to hurt you. Even we are still yet called to bring closure to that and to let it go. And then, so it won't sit in our spirit. And when the enemy brings it back, or when those thoughts come back, oh, well, you know, they should have did this. Why did they say that? You know what? Just say, Satan, the Lord God rebuke you. That's under the blood. I've forgiven them, and you have no place in my thought, nor in my mind, because I choose to love and to release them because they probably didn't intend it to hurt me anyway. And that's how you can overcome and release it from your mind, heart, soul, and emotions. Now, let's look at the next point, the war that goes on sometimes in our members. James asked a rhetorical question, from whence come wars and fighting among you? James 4:1. Then he answered the question, their inward fighting was the result of a lust for pleasure, coveting, or lack of prayer. We could trace every conflict between believers to sinfulness in their heart of people, rebellion, jealousy, greed, selfishness, and other sinful attitudes. The disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden began a cycle of trouble and conflict. Lot moved to Sodom and brought trouble to his family. Saul rebelled, and jealousy resulted in great conflict within his kingdom and ultimately resulted in his own death. And you'll see that over in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 and verse 13. David committed adultery and brought great misery to his kingdom and his family. Absalom lusted for power and caused evil, a civil war in the kingdom of his father. The guilt of sin does not just condemn our soul to eternal death, but it also corrupts our relationships and results in all kinds of conflicts. And so do you see how those things can just bore out and cause turmoil within that kingdom or in your home or in your relationship? And so some things are just not worth it. It's not worth your relationship. It's not worth staying in communion and things. Sometimes that dollar or getting your way or having the last say, it's not worth the rip in your family or the division in your family. So sometimes we can just let it go because God can give you another dollar, and God can also bless you with another vehicle or whatever it may be and things. Don't let those things cause the bowing and biting and bickering among the relationship, because relationship, being in relationship, is more vital because it's touching other family members. It's touching other people in the body of Christ. It's also even can cause a rip in the unity among the brethren or the body of Christ. So you can see how vital it is to resolve those conflicts or not even allowing it to enter in. It's not even worth it. Even the scripture said a good name is better to be chosen than silver and gold. And so we must think in terms or think all the way through. Is it really worth our relationship with, number one, with God, then a relationship with our families or our friends that God has given unto us? Now, let's look at James, what he talks about this, the war that is in the members of James 3, verses 14 through 16 states, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And that's what the Bible said. That's the word of God. And that's why we can't allow it in, because it's devilish, earthly, and sensual, and it descended not from above. So don't let envy and strife dwell in your heart. Get rid of it. Cast it off. Say, I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to allow myself to go there. Because if you do, it's going to have an effect on your body. It's going to have an effect in your mind. And if it's already having an effect in those areas, you can ask forgiveness and ask God to forgive you. And you can pray and say, Lord, I forgive and release them from whoever it was that offended me. It's not worth it. Now, let's look ignoring our weapons. Let's look at that and take a look. Having superior weapons of warfare can greatly enhance one's success while they are in the midst of conflict. In today's world, even a small country with relatively small army can become a threat to the security of a world when it possesses nuclear weapons. The church may be in the minority and even seem to be small and insignificant to some, but it has the greatest spiritual weapon at its disposal. The church has great power to resolve conflicts that has inevitably come our way. Prayer is one of those weapons. James declared, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot attain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And James 4:2 let us know that. They was pursuing goals through carnal effort, and they were failing to achieve them. And Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. One of the best ways to resolve conflicts is to pray for our enemies. James asserted, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And you find that over in Matthew 5:44. We must recognize that these same tools are very vital to us as children of God. The Bible said for us to do good to them that hate you, for us to bless them that curse you, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So you have a job, and those are your weapons. As you fall down on your knees and begin to pray for that one that is talking about persecuting you, despitefully using you, pray for them and watch God use that prayer to strengthen you, fortify you, but also deal with your enemies, the ones that are fighting against you. Now, Stephen prayed for his enemies while they were yet stoning him to death. Acts 7:60 will let you know that. Jesus prayed for his enemies while they were crucified him. Luke 23:34. These are just some examples of what Jesus had did, Stephen had done. Even though these men died, they set an example that prayer is a powerful tool in the child of God's arsenal. Jesus said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21:22. And if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Over in John 15:7. Prayer is often the subject of sermons and seminars in our culture, including everything from meditation to sympathetic contemplation. Many people refer to prayer in terms of calling on a higher power or just in a nice thing to say. Prayer, however, is a powerful source of positive energy when one correctly executes it. James accused the believers of praying amiss or making requests of God with wrong motives. They wanted God to grant their requests solely for the purpose of their own carnal pleasure. Assuredly, God will not provide squandering, or our motive must be to further the kingdom of God. We pray as accessors to God, aligning ourselves with his will. James quoted Proverbs in 6 of our lesson today. Surely he scorned the scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And you'll find that over in Proverbs 3:34. One of the best ways to eliminate conflict between believers is to encourage them to pray for each other. James urged the believer to humble themselves and to pray for one another and confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Because the Bible said, James brings it up again, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous person, man, availeth much. And you'll find that over in James 5:16. Now, let's look at a next thing. Now, that is one of our weapons, is prayer. And we cannot ignore it, but we must engage in that and begin to use that as a vehicle in which God has given to us as children of God to use is prayer. Now, let's look at the next thing, submitting to God. The children of God must harmonize with God's divine will and purpose for their life and the lives of others. Yielding to God by accepting his wishes and praying his will is the way we submit to God. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 40:8. We establish a divine relationship when we submit to God. Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 12:50. James 4:7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In our effort to abhor and resolve conflict, we will never be exempt from one of them. Every child of God must accept the fact that Satan is our number one menace. Peter warned the believer, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaming lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Peter 5:8-9. To avoid the greater conflict, we must take heed to Paul's sober exhortation and his state, neither give place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27, and also see Ephesians 6:11. And so it's our job, child of God, to not to give place to the devil. When the enemy come in and try to use a word that somebody else has stated or said to inflict anger in your mind and your spirit, you cannot give place to the devil. I'm not going to give it no place in my mind. I'm going to ignore the devil. And I heard the young people say at one time, now they would say, speak to the hand and not the face, because I'm not hearing that. And so sometimes we have to allow ourselves that same thing and tell the devil, you can speak to the hand and not the ear, because I'm not hearing it right now, because I'm going to live holy and righteous before God and do God's blessed will. Amen. Can you just shout hallelujah? Now, James taught us how to resist temptation by quoting the word of God as a weapon of defense. He overcame 3 attempts by Satan to lure him into disobedience. And you'll see that when you read Matthew 4. We also can overcome temptation just as Jesus said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you'll find that over in 1 John 4:4. Now, Luke 10:18-19 states, and he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you have that power to overcome and to tread over serpents and scorpions, over the things that the enemy try to use to overthrow you. Tread over that. Get up and rise up over that thing and say that you're bigger than that. You're trusting God in spite of, and you're going to do God's blessed will. And many of the times that the enemy used the attacks like that, right when you get ready to move into ministry, because he wants to set you back. He wants to disengage you from moving forward in the things of God. But you got to make up your mind before, you know, hell or high water come up against you. You're going to do the will of God. You're going to press over it. You're going to pray for your enemies, those that are fighting against you. You're not going to retaliate, and you're not going to slash back at them, but you're going to get down on your knees and pray for them, and pray so much till you push, till you make something happen in things, until God blesses you. Oh, I feel the power of God right there. Come on, put your hands together. I just feel victory for you right there. I feel like someone said, I believe it was a psalmist. She said she's going to ask somebody to hold my mule. When she was talking about shouting John and things, she said, hold my mule and things. And because I feel a shout coming on right there and things. You can make it. Don't let the enemy disengage you from moving forward in your purpose. Press over. Say, I can, I shall, and I will do the work of the Lord. And this too shall pass. Come on and put your hands together and just shout hallelujah. I feel like heaven church right now. Hallelujah. Now let's look at a next point. Drawing near to God. This is key and essential. James gave great hope to the believer in verse 8 to chapter 4. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. As the initiator of relationship, God makes his divine overture to all people. But it's every person's individual responsibility to respond favorable to his love. And God is going to come to us, but we must respond to that love and thing. It's almost like, you know, someone's calling you every day. Every day you're getting a phone call, but you look at the caller ID and say, well, I'm not going to answer that. That's so-and-so. Well, that's the way we can sometimes do to God when God is calling us. We say, oh, that's God pulling on me again. I'm not going to respond to God. But God does not want us to do that. He wants us to respond to him and our love for him and things by loving him back. See John 14 and 6. His love and concern is reciprocal process. The more we reach to him, the more he reaches to us. And so the more we reach out to God, when he has reached out to us, the more he's going to reach out to us, child of God. If it said here over in Proverbs 8 and 17, he said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's the secret. Seek him early. Deuteronomy 4 and 29. But if from this thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And maybe with your heart you sought him, but has it gotten down, all the way down in the depth of your soul to seek God? Maybe you're just at the heart level, but now God is calling you down to the very core of your soul. Seek me that hard, that way, and you will be found. I will be found of you. James also gave us a comforting promises by declaring, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asked it, receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And you'll find that over in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 7. And that's a key verse, child of God, because God wants to do it. Now, let's look at another point on today. Conflict without speaking no evil. Let God be the judge. And let's take a look at those two aspects in our walk of our life. Getting along with fellow children of God is vital to be effective in our spiritual life. Obviously, our human imperfection will stain our relationship from time to time. Although disagreements, misunderstanding, and personality conflicts are inevitable, we should make every effort to resolve these conflicts when they arise. Paul challenged us, be kindly affected one to another with brotherly love, in honor, prefer one another, over in Romans 12 and 10. Now Ephesians 4 and 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now let's take a look here at speaking no evil. One of the best ways to avoid personal conflict is to abstain from talking negatively about another person. Spreading rumors and gossip about others will stir up a hornet's nest of contention and conflict. A person quickly becomes notorious of talking too much, and such a person becomes untrustworthy in their closest associates. We should diligently heed Paul's admonition, and that we should study to be quiet and to do our own business and to work with our own hand as we commanded you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. If we adhere to Paul's advice, we will live a more peaceful life. Paul warned Timothy about troublesome busybodies. Withal, they learned to be idols, wandering about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. 1 Timothy 5:13. So, children of God, we should not be talebearers. We should not be busybodies, but we should be to the edifying and building up. If there's a concern in the community or in among, when you're in a company of other persons or people, what you can do, if that concern needs to be voiced, voice those concerns, and then say, let's take it to God and leave it there. Let's stand in the gap for my sister or my brother and pray for them, because that must be a cruel thing to have to go through a situation like that. As opposed, because guess what? We don't know the whole story. We don't even know what's all going on and things, or what their cross may be that they have to bear. But we can pray that God will strengthen them while they're going through. And that's how we deal with that. When people come and tell stories or come and share other people's issues or conflicts or different things, let's tell them. Let us pray for them and things, and leave it right there. And that's how you can overthrow and not allow contention and things, and lose your ability to have trustworthy people, your ability for other people to trust you or respect. And those things are key for us to hold fast, our ability for other people to trust us and the ability for other people to have respect for us. If we fill our lives with responsibility and challenges, we have no time to meddle in the business of others. Ephesians say, chapter 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, let's look at the other point. We need to allow ourselves to edify and then minister grace unto the hearers. You know, many times, sometimes people blot out things with their words, and you know, some things you can't get back. Some words cannot get back. They're like wings. They take wings and they just fly off into the atmosphere. And the scripture let us know, Proverbs say, the power of life and death is in the tongue, and who loves is going to eat the fruit thereof. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that you have to sometimes say, Lord, put an angel at the doorway of our mouth. So many times people blurt out things as opposed to sort of thinking it through and finding out what effect would this have on the life of individuals. So let's take a look here. Let God judge. James stated that if we speak evil of our brethren, we are assuming the role of the judge. And you'll see James 4:11. This person arrogantly places himself in the position to judge the law and their brethren or their another person. Only one is above the law, and that is God, who is both the judge and the one who gave the law. God fills the role of the legislator, the executive, in the judicial aspect of his divine law. Jesus illustrates the reciprocal nature of judging when he proclaimed, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And you'll find that over in Luke 6:36-37, and Matthew 7:1-2. It is vital, children of God, that we engage in being merciful to others, and not to judge, and not to condemn, and to forgive, so that we can be forgiven. And God himself, he is the righteous judge. He will do it. And then as we fall upon our face, cry out unto God, let God take his seat back as being the righteous judge. And he'll judge every, and he stated, he was going to judge everything that you have done in your body and in your words and in your deeds. It's still going to be judged, but God is going to be the one that judges. Amen. Let's look at the next thing, conflict with God. God has a divine plan for every life. It is the responsibility of each believer to seek after God until one discover and obey the divine design. We should pray like David, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And you'll find that over in Psalm 143 and 10. Paul exhorted the Ephesians to seek the will of God. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6 and 6. Jesus modeled submission to God's will when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Luke 22 and 42. We'll have a lot of nevertheless moments and experience in our life, but we'll still yet have to go back to our garden or go to our place of prayer and ask in God, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Now let's look at another point in conflict with God. Avoid assumption. James warned us of the danger in being too specific in advance in our personal plan. We should always be conscious of God's possible intervention into our neatly organized plan for the future. Planning is necessary to succeed in reaching goals. Nevertheless, we should always be flexible by accepting God's alteration of those plans at any time. Indeed, God should become partners to our planning. After the flood of Noah's days, a group of people determined to build a city and a tower without blessing God, or without God's blessing. And you'll find that over in Genesis chapter 11. God abruptly stopped the project with confusion of their languages. Jesus told the story of a rich young man who pondered the success of his crops and decided to tear down his barns and build a larger one. His plans would allow him to rest and live on his assets for many years to come. Nevertheless, the death angel visited him to him while he slept, abruptly terminated those plans. And you'll see that over in Luke chapter number 12. The wise man always included the Lord in his plan. Proverbs 19 and 21 states, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. And that's why we must include God in every one of our plans. And that's what I tell us at the church. It's always in everything that you do. Let God have the preeminence. Jesus, you get the preeminence. When you do your business plan, Jesus, you get the preeminence. When you do your plan for your life, Jesus, get the preeminence. When you're planning for your college career, Jesus, get the preeminence. Lead and guide me. And when you always include God in the plan, Jesus in the plan, he will lead and guide you into all truth. And that's key to what's going to be the blessing down the road for your life. Now, B, avoid boastfulness. James 4 and 16. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Pride and arrogance and selfishness are the motives behind boasting. Writers of the Book of Proverbs warn the proud. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Proverbs 16 and 18. God hates boasting so much because of the destruction that it brings. Proverbs 27 and 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We don't know what is this plan unless God has revealed it unto us. Now let's look at another point. Eliminate conflict with God. Obedient to God is one definition of goodness. The psalmist illustrated the truth of obedience to God always results in good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. You'll find that over in Psalms 34 and 8. The virtue of goodness, not just an emotion, but love and action in one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul gives us an answer to overcoming all evil in the world in his admonition. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Constantly, child of God, seeking to do good. Romans 12 and verse number 21. And John Wesley, he wrote this. Do good. Do all the good you can. By all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and at all the times you can, and to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That was written by John Wesley, exhorting and admonishing the people, everyone, to do good. He said, in all the means that you can, the ways and places and time and all to all people, and as long as ever you can, always seek to do good, even when they're doing evil, conspiring and plotting and planning to your demise, to derail whatever God has called you to do. You do good and watch God bless you and prepare you a table before the presence of your enemies. Ah, everyone that fought up against you, God will set a table spread with the finest china to bless you, child of God, because you endeavor to do it God's way. No longer our way, but it's God's way. Now let's look in my conclusion on today of this lesson. Regardless of how rough our walk through this troubled life, we will encounter many conflicts. While our effort to avoid conflict or worthy virtue and desirable goal, it is impossible always to achieve that. We have conflict in our very natures between the spiritual man and the carnal man. And we talked about that earlier in our show today over in Romans 7 and 23. God has given us the tension because it is out of this conflict that we choose to do right and reject good wrong. By choosing to do right things, we resolve our greatest conflict with God. James addressed the conflict between believers and described them as fights and war. He identified their sources as selfish desire for pleasure and personal possession. He declared that the believers' lack of and misdirected prayers was the source of their fighting. They was praying but wanting things that would satisfy their own lust for pleasure instead of seeking the will of God. A self-seeking attitude always leads people into conflict as their barter into competition for position or possession. Resisting the temptation of Satan and submitting to God's will is a way to peace between God and mankind. Humility is required for total submission to God and to resist the temptation of taking control of every situation. James promised that if we would resist the devil temptation, he would flee from us. One of the best ways to avoid and resolve conflict with others is to never to speak evil of anyone. James also warned us that speaking evil of others is evident that when we are appointing ourselves as their judge, which is God's responsibility alone. Conflict with God is the severest of all. God hates a proud, arrogant attitude because such an attitude is self-sufficient and does not seek God's will. Allowing him to guide our lives by seeking his direction in all of life's choices is the way to find peace with God. James cautions the believer about boasting of plans for the future as if one is in charge and control all of life's events. On the other hand, child of God, we always should say, I will go or do a certain thing if the Lord's willed it to be, or if it's the Lord's will. After all, he is the one who holds all power in heaven and in earth. See Matthew 28 and 18. James declared, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and 17. Good deeds are the answer to the persuasiveness of evil of this world. Jesus provided us with a perfect example as he went about performing good deeds. See Acts chapter 8, verse 10 and 38. Paul declared that the goodness is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 and verses 23. Although many definitions of the word good exist, one of those could be just doing the good, doing the will of God. Therefore, performing good deeds is the best way to avoid conflict with God. And I pray that that right there open up our understanding of what we could be about doing. Is doing good is a way to avoid conflict even with God. And so as we open up our understanding about resolving conflict, number one, you want to recognize that you don't want to speak no evil and let God be the judge. Number two, that you're going to pray for those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. You're going to take them to the Lord. God said to love our enemies, to bless them that curses you, to do good to them that hate you, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So when that person is persecuting you, God said, pray for them. And those the ones that is against you, that's doing evil against you, God said, love them. The one that is cursing you, bless them. And when you begin to use those weapons or use those tools or employ those things in your life, you'll have peace with God. You'll have peace within your heart and mind. And like David said, that he also stated that for my iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden, that they are too heavy for me. Resolving these conflict within will bring peace to the mind and good mental and physical health. And so it is vital, children of God, that we can avoid presumption and avoid boastfulness and avoid pride and a prideful spirit. We can boast in the Lord and things. We can share those things that God has done for us and share all of these things, but always do it in the spirit of humility as what God has blessed you to do. And your life will be tremendously blessed. And recognizing that God wants us to draw nigh unto him and for us to submit ourselves unto him. How do you do that? Every morning when you wake up, God, I'm submitting myself unto you. I'm renewing my mind today. I'm saying, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And before I start in on anything on this day, God, I submit myself unto you. And as you submit yourself unto God, the Bible said that as you submit yourself unto God, the devil will flee and things. And watch God bless you and give you the strength to tread even on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means, the scripture say, shall hurt you. Because guess what? You submitted yourself unto God. And God is going to comfort and God is going to keep you. And that you are no longer is going to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to edifying and that which is good, that it may minister. Remember, you are a minister and ministering grace unto your hearers, that it may edify and build up. And so here, in my closing, I want you to know that as you draw close to God, God loved him. And he said for us to seek him early, and we will be found of him if we seek him with our whole heart, mind, and soul. So I pray that this has been a help for you as to understanding and how to resolve that conflict with that sister or that brother that you're dealing with, or people even on your job or in the marketplace and things. Constantly endeavor to do good and things. When they're doing wrong to you, still yet from the bowels of your heart and your soul, do good, and God will bless you and make your enemies your footstool because you endeavor to bless them and to do good. I pray earnestly that this has been a blessing to you and that this has strengthened and fortified you and undergird you with the blessings of the Lord. Truly, God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. And I pray that you have been blessed with some tools. Go back and read about James and understanding, and let the enemy know, I'm not going to allow bitter envy and strife to dwell in my heart and things, but I'm going to allow the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to take his place in my heart and mind and soul, that I can live and enter in to the rest of the Lord, and resting in my mind and resting in my physical being, because there's no turmoil and conflict is going on in my mind or in my spirit, because you have chosen to do it God's way. And so, again, I pray that this has blessed you on today as you learned how to deal with those people and things that are rubbing up against you the wrong way, or getting on your last nerve, and things are hitting that sciatic nerve in your back, and things that are sending you forward into an emotional frizzy, and things. Now you have gotten tools to know and purpose in your mind that you're going to do good, and that the peace of God is going to dwell in your heart, mind, and soul, and that your tongue is going to be filled with the goodness of the Lord, and you're going to pray for those that are fighting up against you. And this, too, is going to pass, because God got your back as you grab a hold to his principles and walk therein. I tell you, this is some victorious words from the Lord for victorious living, child of God. And remember, Pastor Arm will always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one prayer away from your miracle. The Bible said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that knocketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened. And things. And so if this has been a blessing to you, go and rate the show today. Go back to and rate how this has blessed you. And also, I want you to know that also you can email me your comments and let me know if this has been a blessing unto you and if this has empowered your life with new tools that you can use and new arsenals that when you engage in spiritual warfare, you know what to do, because God has said that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And guess what? God is empowering you here at home. Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment, a word of empowerment for your life today. And watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And get up from there and go out and be the woman and the man of God that God has so ordainedly purchased his house, his bride for, through his own shed blood has he purchased your salvation. Be thou encouraged, knowing that someone is praying for you. And to all of my covenant partners all throughout the world, I want you to know that Pastor Orr is praying for you. We will be lifting you up in our prayers. And guess what? I want to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in a long time. I want you to email me and let me know how I can be a blessing to you. If you need me to come to your ministry, call us, email us, and we'll work out the details and talk with you so that we can be a blessing to you, your women, your prayer ministry, deliverance, and whatever God can do God got it, and he's able to bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, remember, the same time and at the same station, may God bless you, is my prayer.
Blog Talk Radio.